Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey everybody, welcome back to this episode of Blue Collar BS. I am your co-host Brad, along with
Steve.
Yes, we are. We are both back with another episode of Blue Collar BS. We are happy to have you along on our journey. Mr. Doyle, as he has, as you'll hear later in the year on a self-admitted episode of how much he does for the show, which I really do appreciate all that you do.
When I do?
Yeah, when you do, has brought another topic for us today to discuss, one that is very interesting and potentially timely as we are, you know, into beginning of Q2, kind of laid the groundwork for what's going to happen for the year, raises, etc. People are pissed or not pissed. Mr. Doyle, introduce the topic that we're going to go through
today. All right. So it's, you're an executive of a business. You've made,
we'll call it a manufacturing company
of some sort. Doesn't really
we'll say they've got 75 employees.
Sure. Doesn't matter. Right. But you're on the executive team. You've touted that it's been a stellar year for your company. You've broken records. Everything is great. And it is now merit time, annual review time, merit time. And you, as the executive team, you look at and you're like, hey, we need to do merits. We're going to do merits for our non-salaried workforce. But we have made the decision that our salaried workforce, we need to put a pause on sending merits out for our salaried workforce. So we have been talking for the last several times that Brad and I have gotten together about employee engagement and morale, and morale, more or less. So this conscious decision comes out of, hey, we are going to do merit increases for group A, but we're not going to do merit increases for group B. So, Brad, that's the scenario.
So I have lots of questions potentially here. Yep. So group A, the non-salary, so that would be hourly workers and direct labor, I assume. Yes?
Correct.
And for the salaried employees, two things come to mind immediately. One, over the last 2 years, were there keep up with inflationary type raises that took place along the way that may have created opportunity for, we're a little bit out of control here potentially for where we want to be in our market share.
Good question.
Or not would be a question that I would have for those organizations, because if let's just say the last 3 years it was 7, 7, 9 for increases, that's heavily accelerated. If they were having great years and doing all those things and being good stewards to their employees, I know I have clients that have done that. It's like inflation was going up. They were having good years. They gave out big raises to go alongside with that to not piss people off.
I mean, let's answer that question very bluntly. No.
Okay.
Okay. Get the point, and that point is very valid. That did not happen at all.
Okay. I was just asking a question.
In this scenario, this scenario we're placating on, that scenario did not happen.
Then shame on them. So how was this information conveyed, communicated, taken out? Was there a town hall meeting where, hey, the leader of the organization is going to get everybody in front and this is what's going on and here's the structure and this is what we're thinking? You know, by the way, this big deal that's coming through, or did we have a major quality problem that we're waiting for? Was there a litigation, something that we got to stockpile some cash for just in case? I mean, lots of things could be communicated appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Lots of things could be communicated, Brad, but let's back up. Let's talk hypothetical before we get into what really happened. why would we want to have such a meeting? What purpose would having such a meeting do with the workforce?
It creates that transparency. It creates trust. Oh. It creates opportunity for communication back and forth. It creates Q&A. And every organization's got the two or three people that will always try to get the I got you so card to their leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. So you take those questions and you dance around them like a politician, but there's going to be the other 90% of the crowd's going to ask legitimate questions. Hey, what about?
Right.
And you get those mm-hmm. answered in front of everybody. So everybody hears the same message at the same time, the same words. Mm.
So that what you're really saying, Brad, is companies that operate with a transparency model of communicating, whether good during good times and in not so good times, have a greater probability of maintaining trust. Is that what you were saying?
Well, based on your skeptical look on your face.
Is that what you're saying,
Brad? I am saying that if you have leaders that, so first of all, your team needs to trust your leaders. If they don't trust your leaders, it doesn't matter what you do in front of the audience or not, right? So are you creating the vulnerability of what's going on there? Are you creating the information, sharing the information appropriately? Or are we saying, hey, good on you. So sorry, you're in the middle. All those on the bottom get rewarded. All those on the top get rewarded. And you in the middle, not so much.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And people see through that. Employees see through that. And unless they want to, and this could be a strategy play from their standpoint that they have.
Correct.
Too many people employed, too many things. So they're going to let those that want to self-select.
Self-select,
and they can reduce their burden cost by X percent and not have to worry about sending anything to the state for layoffs or whatever. It could be a strategy play. I don't know.
It could be. And all of that is unknown. But the big thing here,
Big Lebowski,
is when you are being more transparent about what is going on, whether during good times and in bad, it leads to higher engagement and trust.
Well, the incongruency is the problem here, right?
Correct.
You can't go along all year saying awesome, 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 and then here we are, give everybody their fours and fives for reviews because, you know, we can't have anybody feel bad, so everybody's a four and five, even though
in reality, half the team is ones.
Right, because we don't really feel bad a lot about this. So we're going to have artificially high performance reviews and then say, oh, by the way, we're not going to give out merit because we had such great years without any communication or information. I mean, I'd watch your tires in your parking lot, depending on what kind of organization you got. You
know? Wow. Going right after it, huh?
Well, I'm serious. I mean, if it's...
Yep.
I don't know that I would, you know... Now, you gave the direct laborers their money, so there's probably a less tendency for something like that to happen because there's more controls potentially and watching those individuals come and go from the office area than the shop floor in many cases.
Time out. What are we saying there, Brad? Different show. Different show.
What I'm saying there is that the security cameras tend to be in different locations for the office than they are for the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
That's all I was saying.
Absolutely.
That there's greater opportunity for floor guys to go do things than maybe the office folks could do because when people are coming and going from the office, everybody's paying attention. Nobody paying attention to the shop floor. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying there.
Yep. So, hypothetically, since I haven't given like a clear answer on this, hypothetically, let's say in this type of organization, how it was rolled out and communicated was done via email, mass email. So everybody got the message at the same time.
Do you remember the commercial where the guy that hit the virus button and got all the dancing heads on their screens all over the place, and everybody's heads started popping up about who hit what, did what, where? I'm going to guess that's what the office environment was like when that email was gotten and read, is that all of a sudden everybody's like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. What the hell? And all the cubes marched out into, you know, here's our pitchforks and torches ready to go.
Hypothetically, that could have happened.
Hypothetically.
I don't know. I mean, this is a scenario we were making up, right? Hypothetically. Wink.
Right.
Ironically enough, even managers of employees didn't know this was coming down. Higher up managers didn't know this was happening. So they received at the same point of all level of salaried workforce received the same communication.
At the same time without notice or understanding. So, so I'll just call it, depending on your organization structure, we'll call it the C-level organization structure, made a decision, kept it a secret, didn't roll it out to those that are leading the, so they're the leaders of leaders. Didn't roll it out to their leaders. So when it went to their team members, the individual contributors, they'd at least have a sniff and a whiff and a know and a ability to have meaningful conversation with their employees.
Yes.
Yeah. That's just a fucking shit show waiting. That's going to be, knock, knock, knock. Now serving number 16. It's going to be like going to the deli sandwich. Just get in line, folks. Just get in line and pull that CEO's door go knock.
Yeah. And guess what? Theoretically, what do you think as an executive, what do you think can transpire from?
Was it done on a Friday?
Nope. Oh, no. God, no. Why would you do it on a Friday? Why? Hypothetically, this was done on a Tuesday.
Well, because if it was done on a Friday, you'd leave in the afternoon so that nobody could get a hold of you.
Well, you know, I mean, there are reasons why you do things like that on a Friday afternoon.
Right.
But let's do this.
We do it on a Friday afternoon so nobody can get a hold of us.
Right. There's reasons why. But hypothetically, let's just say we pick a random day like a Tuesday. Let's do it on a Tuesday. Let's do it first thing in the morning.
I'm going to guess productivity is way low on Tuesday. I'm going to guess there was nothing getting done anywhere on Tuesday.
Hypothetically, nothing was getting done because now you have employees going into their manager's office all at the same time going, what the fuck is going on? Now you have managers going to their manager's offices going, what the fuck is going on? You have those managers going to the manager's offices or maybe even executive offices going, what in the hell just happened here? All I'm doing is having conversations. And guess what? As each day goes by and there is no conversation with the employees.
How many sick calls were there on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
I wouldn't say there were any sick calls. I would say that there was a lot of I'm now leaving right after. I am no longer leaving. I'm no longer staying late.
We're now doing 8 to 4 and literally 8 to 4, not 7 to 5 or 6.
Correct. There is no longer any, the trust is gone.
There's no extra effort being provided by any of the salaried staff whatsoever.
Let's hypothetically say no, because I'm not that close to the situation that says, yes, this is exactly what happened. But let's just hypothesize from morale perspective what's going on.
This company's fucked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And every day, so just hypothetically, every day that goes by when there is not a face-to-face meeting with the key decision makers to the employees, doesn't need to be one-on-one, but every moment that goes by that there is not a face-to-face to feel heard, to give some form of explanation of what's going on, regardless if it was...
You know what I smell, Steve?
What do you smell?
I smell opportunity for Professional Business Coaching, Inc.
Opportunity, Brad, is everywhere.
That's what I smell. I smell an opportunity for you to go do some knocking on some doors and say, what are you guys fucking doing?
This is a hypothetical.
Let me help you with this.
This is a hypothetical.
I know, but it's your hypothetical, which means you are hypothetically opportunistic here.
Yes, I'm very opportunistic.
Sounds like they need some executive help. Because this was whoever is providing them the advice or guidance on this is fucking whacked in the head.
So now we're on, let's just hypothetically, it went out on Tuesday. So we're now at Friday with at the beginning of the morning with no communication from the C-suite as to what's going on.
They're not in the lunchroom. They're not walking the floors. They're not. No. Nope. They are bunkered and hunkered into their offices, so, not doing anything.
So
100% avoidance is my take on what they're doing.
What do you think they could potentially even do to help start smoothing things over?
Have the all employee meeting. Like, hey, you guys are pissed. We get it. We'll meet in the conference room or in the library or the lobby or, you know, go to wherever their town hall meetings are, go to the nearest bank that has a big ass conference room or whatever, do a bottle of water, do something, you know, maybe go get them some swag on top of it with a company branded logo.
Oh, throw in a fucking pizza too. Throw in a fucking pizza. That'll make the day.
Some pizza and a swag bag and a bottle of water and we'll call it good.
Oh man, that'll just smooth everything over. You know, because you know that's what they're going to get instead of their merit. That's really going to smooth it over, let me tell you. That's going to make them not want to pick up the phone and talk to a recruiter. What Brad, do you think could make it worse?
Could make it worse?
What would make the situation even worse?
Oh man. Oh wow. So they've hunkered down all week. Is what I'm right. So it's now Friday. If it was Tuesday, sure. Friday, sure. They've not roamed the halls, they've not done anything, there's been no communication, no nothing. What could make it worse? If I'm gonna go down my DISC profile behaviors, D's are all pissed off, it doesn't matter. I's think they don't have any friends left in the organization. S's are scared shitless, but aren't going to tell anybody. And the C's are trying to calculate how much money all the executives are pocketing for themselves by not giving it.
Oh, yes. So
we got all that going on.
Oh, yes. Sure. All of that's going on, but that's all right. That's because now they have time to do it because they are purely working.
Right.
They're 8 to 4.
Right. And they're only going to work on the things that are in front of them. They're not going to go ask for any of the additional support or help.
Oh, you got that. So, right.
Hypothetically, so what could make it any worse? What could make it worse from the executive standpoint?
No, what would make it worse from the employee standpoint?
All the executives showing up with new cars.
There's that. There is that. Now, what if you were advised, if you were the executive and you were advised, you know what? We're not going to have a face-to-face meeting. I just want you guys just to go send emails to your team and tell them how much they're appreciated.
Those are the things that get printed and framed and become memes across an organization. And the next thing you know, it's sitting on somebody's desk when that president walks by and they're like, what the fuck is this? And they got to take that serious look in themselves and go, oh yeah, we created that problem. But most of the time they don't, and they get pissed at the employee for doing the thing, even though they had nothing to do with it. They're just they truly are the victim of the situation, not the creator of the situation. Yes, I recall our engineering team back in the day when we had some of those types of things where shortly after we went public and the board of directors and the contract signings and all the other things for our executive teams and all the 10K reports out on the SEC filings and watching everybody get there. I'm like, that's the deal they signed. Why are we so pissed off about it? We should go do our shit better so we don't have to be jealous of what they're getting because we didn't do our job better.
Yeah. Now, I was fortunate to be in part of an organization where even during a downtime, we had quarterly town halls and they were great. You got the information, whether or not we chose to believe the quote unquote rhetoric at the time, or if you actually genuinely were in the know and it's like, no, this is actually legit. And they're trying to be genuine and transparent. I still remember the one town hall we had where we were very transparent. It was very transparent to us, from our executives down to the employees and the management staff and the leadership teams. Hey, we are on some tough times. We are going to be in a layoff period. And it was clear that it was said, the order of magnitude was never communicated, but it was clear that, hey, something was going on. And I will never forget the day when it happened. And it wasn't one or two, it was hundreds, and it was all done one-to-one. It was never mass. It was done one-to-one. And that day, you didn't know it was going to be that day until that day came. And it was all done in one day.
Right. Yep. And the escorts were there. People followed it, right? You did all the things. Here it is. It's in and out. 2009, that was one of the worst days. That was one of the worst leadership days of my life, was having to do that.
But I would say it was great. There's a lot of things we could say done right, done wrong. But one thing that the company, in my eyes, did right is they were transparent and letting people know where things stood and that decisions had to be made. And after that, then, you know, you could have said a million different things of, hey, we could have done this way, that way. But circling back to like this instance where no communication happened.
You got communication. You're doing a great job. We appreciate you, Steve.
Oh yeah, bullshit. And that's the thing is, when I say bullshit, that's exactly what the employees are feeling. You don't fucking care. You're just money grubbing assholes. And now you're showing your true colors that you don't give a shit. Why should I?
Well, because you're letting everybody tell their own stories. And so for all the leaders out there, whether you have one employee or thousands of employees, when you allow your team members to tell their own stories, to answer questions that have never been asked of you from their own voice, it is never going to end well for either side. Because it is always on your side of it as the leader, you're going to say everything's all hunky-dory and rainbows and lollipops. And you think everything is... Mm-hmm. Woohoo! Employee is going to have it brimstone and fire and all the sky is falling. Truth is, it's always somewhere in between those things, but you got to have the conversation and communication to let that, to make that awareness happen.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's the whole human aspect is what's missing in this scenario of just having a conversation with the people.
So to summarize, we have an organization that has for 10 to 12 months saying, hey, it's a great year. It's a great year. It's a great year. Things are good. Things are good. Things are good.
Yep.
We give direct labor employees their bump and opportunity.
Yep.
We then send an email blindsiding your high-level and mid-tier managers, because there's no communication, and then all your employees receive all the information, so we get to play whack-a-mole on Tuesday when the email shows up. Hey, guys, thanks for all your effort, but you're getting nothing, and good luck.
Cool. Essentially,
And then we're going to wait until Friday and send you out, oh, guys, we really do appreciate you, email along the way on Friday, and oh, my God.
Yeah, as you go into the weekend... It made people more livid.
I can't even imagine those executives walking that floor to go ask somebody a question at an individual contributor level. You think you had a silo problem before? If you had one, oh my God, you have just created the Berlin Wall all over again between us versus them across all the levels, because now your mid-tier managers you've alienated them as well because you didn't trust them with the information. And now they're sitting here. I thought I was trusted. I thought I could trust you with what was going on. And now you've made my life hell. And now I got to. Oh my God.
Right. So, you know, and in retrospect, obviously we can, you know, the timing of this recording, we're in mid-March. We know from the political spectrum that's going on right now, we see some of, you know, the more conservative side just, you know, touting that, hey, let's send out an email, and that's the new way we're going to do things. What it does, that right or wrong, what it does is it sends a message that you don't matter to your employees from your executive team. And again, if you're focused on just grounding and pounding and putting money into the business and putting money into the bank, okay. Just know that has consequences, and there are repercussions for doing it. We're not saying you need to go around and pat everybody on the ass and tell them they're doing a great job and everybody gets a fucking award.
Well, that would get you into different kind of trouble. That's going to get you different HR problems. That's going to cost you a lot of money.
Yeah, that's going to cost, yes. But it's the, you don't need to go around telling everybody they're a superstar. There's a balance.
But we did that because we all gave them fours and fives because we didn't give them the right review to begin with.
Yep. There's a balance. What we're saying is that human connection, that not necessarily one-to-one, but in person, have them see you, have them hear what you're saying, provide the opportunity to ask questions. Because anytime that you go around and throw a mandate out, that's very impersonal. You're allowing everyone else to fill in that story, create deeper animosity and disengagement in your business. And now not only are you suffering from lack of teamwork, lack of morale, you're suffering from low productivity.
Correct.
And that is going to cost you way more money than if you would have just given them their damn merits to begin with.
Right. It's going to cost you a lot more than the 2%. Even if it was 2% instead of the 3 or 5 or whatever they're accustomed to, you would have been far better off, and it would have been a far, far greater pain, less pain for sure in that space. And for those leaders that might be young or old and haven't maybe listened or done anything to help themselves, go get the book or listen to the book Crucial Conversations.
Yes.
To help facilitate those types of things, because you may not like it, but your job as a leader is to have that conversation and do it. And you're going to be as uncomfortable as shit to do it. But you got to get over it. You need to have the conversation in person with your people, with your team members, and you just can't pass the buck down to the next level because that's not fair to them for decisions that you're making.
Correct.
Because now you're going to allow them to posture, hey, Sally Smith, it's not me, it's my boss that's doing that. So now I'm creating animosity across all levels of the organization versus just hearing it straight from the horse's mouth that this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, have a great weekend with that hypothetical, Steve.
Yeah, no problem. It'll just be another weekend. So we're good because it is hypothetical.
Correct.
So it's easy for me. Have a good weekend. You too.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue collar businesses strong for generations to come.